Welcome to Radio Renegade with your host, Christian from Philly, and Batman, brought to you by World Generation Network, and in part by WrestleCorp.com. And now, Radio Renegade.
Welcome to Radio Renegades, where I am your host, Christian from Philly, and joining us, as always, is my co-host, give it up for Batman. Hey, Batman.
Oh, from the powers of the sky and the ground, the earth. And hell and heaven, join forces, it's Christian from Philly, and Batman from Texas.
How's it going, guys?
Good, my brother. Before we start the show, we're gonna do a little list tonight. That's right, list of Philly. We're gonna give you the top five reasons why this year's WrestleMania is gonna be a fucking disaster. So are you ready before we get the show on the road?
Could have started on positive vibes, man. But you're from Philly. I know the anger that you got boiling in your soul, so rip them a new one, baby. Rip them a new one.
All right, number five. We're going to start the list with the secondary titles being fucking ignored. Yes, if you don't know what that means, I'll explain it to you. The fucking McMahon family promised that the fucking secondary titles would be more fucking important. Boy, has that promise been fucking empty since day one. We don't even have a match for the IC title yet, for the Raw Tag Team Championships yet, or the fucking SmackDown titles yet. Batman, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, man, I noticed that. And another thing that's crazy is that even the United States title has actually been spotlighted more than the Intercontinental title. And that's crazy because the past couple podcasts, we have been talking a lot of trash about the United States title. I've been defending it like I usually do. But in reality, there has been a lot. The United States title has really gone down the drain. And they must listen to our podcast because, again, we have skyrocket insight. Whoop, afternoon delight. They're over here spotlighting the United States title and nothing on the Intercontinental yet. So, yeah, man, some of the stuff is just kind of flying over our heads, but I think it doesn't surprise me because look at the way they've just been building up WrestleMania. Everything's just been kind of coming out the woodwork, you know what I mean? And not in a good way, the way they usually do. They got, like, stars out the ass. You got musical this, musical that. Nothing has happened lately. Really, the only highlight that's happened is just all these surprise either returns or surprise matches. And I've actually seen rumors that they are going to replace Baron Corbin because of the reaction that they got. Like, even his wife, Kurt Angle's wife, has disagreed. Mm-hmm. Like, she was pretty vocal on the choice. She was like, what the fuck, for real? Like, it's Kurt Angle here. You're Baron Corbin, nothing against him. But you have other people there that he could end his career with that could make it a great match for it to be his last match. You know what I mean? Baron Corbin is cool for a Raw, but for WrestleMania, no. But, yeah, then there's still a lot of questions going in the air for WrestleMania this year. Yeah.
Number four, Asuka being ignored. That's right. Instead of being a triple threat match like we thought it was going to happen, instead, it's looking like Lana is going to face Asuka for the Women's Championship. Hooray. What a good fucking match for Asuka for WrestleMania. What do you think, Batman? Asuka versus Lana and Mania for the championship.
Asuka versus Lana. Look.
What a great title.
Here's one thing. Yeah, man. Here's the thing about Asuka. Even Jim Ross has said it. And Jim Ross would be, I think he has an authority when it comes to booking and hiring and all that. Because he's the one that's hired a lot of stars that we know and we admire today. So I think he would know. what he's talking about, what he speaks on, Asuka's really been underutilized and misused, misbooked. Lana, look, Lana's always going to have something about her. We may think she's terrible. I don't think she's that great in the ring. She has improved a lot, but she's great on the mic. She's really, really easy on the eyes. And she's a part of the reason why Rusev Day has been a thing, even with Rusev himself, you know. She's a great manager. So I don't see the title. I don't see her in the title picture. I don't know why they would put her there. There's so many other candidates right now that you can do that, but I think because they got the focus on Randy, on Ronda, Becky, and Charlotte, that they kind of just forgot. Man, I hate to say that F word, but it sounds like they forgot about Asuka. They forgot about Dre, bro. Yeah, it's just terrible.
Number three. Kurt Angle not happy with his WrestleMania opponents. Even Kurt Angle himself hates the fact that he probably is facing Corbin at WrestleMania. We all know it's John Cena, Boston, Massachusetts. And also, really, WWE? You're surprised at the fucking reaction of Baron Corbin being chosen? Are you serious? We've seen this match 1,000 times. You're surprised of the reaction? Get it fucking together. Batman, what is your thoughts of Kurt Angle himself hating the fact that he chose Baron Corbin?
I mean, come on. Again, do you really think that he wants to...
No.
Do you think he wants to face Baron Corbin? Come on now.
No. He already beat Corbin at Raw.
Yeah, exactly. This is what I'm saying. It's a Raw match, not a...
He beat Corbin after the TLC pay-per-view, the night after, already.
Yeah, like, that's not the match that you... That you go for, you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's like, just what the fuck?
Look, so I hear that they are going to do the WrestleMania with John Cena, and even if it's a quick match, look, Kurt Angle is he's the natural athlete. He's the one that's he's one of the greatest superstars there is in the wrestling business. So if you're going to go
I'll give that match 10 minutes. I'll give that match
which
10
one?
Minutes.
Even John if you give Cena him a 5-minute, oh, even if it was a 5-minute match, it's still something that Kurt Angle at least deserves. And who better?
Sure.
Again, John Cena started his career with Kurt Angle. John Cena started it with Kurt Angle. He was the prototype. He came in and he was like, "What do you have that nobody else has here?" And he's like, "Ruthless aggression." And he slapped the shit out of the dude. And then when it slapped the shit out of fucking Jericho right after, got the respect of Undertaker. So who better to end the career with than John Cena, who started the career with? You know what I mean? It would make more sense for Full Circle. If you are going to go that route, then I would do somebody who's got some tenure there, you know, that can mix it well with Kurt Angle. I would say even AJ Styles.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously AJ Styles is in his own little thing now, but, I mean, there's so many other prospects, so many other choices in Baron Corbin.
Number two. Samoa Joe possibly losing to Rey Mysterio at WrestleMania.
I have no issue with that. I honestly have no issue with that. And the only reason being is because I can see a little feud going on with this. Like, even if Rey Mysterio were to win it at least just once and lose it the next night, at least Rey Mysterio got to win the United States title. Which is another little notch under his belt. I mean, that's what his son Dominic said on SmackDown. He said, "My dad's just going to go out there and do what he does best, you know, high fly and win titles." And that's what he does. So, I wouldn't see in any. I don't have any issue with him winning the title as long as they keep it back and forth. That way, you still have something to build on with Samoa Joe, because it would be disrespectful, at least for him, as.
Yeah.
It would be disrespectful, at least for him to go and do that and then not, you know what I mean, not let him have the title. Why are you going to give him the title and then just take it off his hands?
Yeah. Well, here comes number one and the most important one of them all. Seth Rollins does not look like a credible challenger to Brock Lesnar. The way they have been booking Seth Rollins against Brock Lesnar has been fucking horrid. It's been fucking horrid. He doesn't look like a credible challenger at all. He's been having terrible matches. I don't want to see Drew versus Seth again. And the fucking Seth versus Shelton Benjamin match, that was the most disappointing match I've ever seen. You expect to see high-flying action between these two, but instead, we got fucking headlocks and then a few in-ring moves. Disappointing. Yeah, Batman, how does it feel that Seth Rollins doesn't look like a credible challenger to Brock Lesnar? Because in all honesty, he doesn't look like a credible challenger to me, to Brock.
Oh, okay. Repeat what you said again. If you don't mind, I'm sorry.
I don't think Seth looks like a credible challenger to Brock, the way they've been booking it.
Here's one thing about Seth, is that I actually disagree. I think he is a credible one. If somebody is going to beat Brock, it would be him.
No, I mean the way they're booking it.
Well, okay, yeah, the way they're booking him, it's not that great. But again, a lot of what they're doing in WrestleMania lately, it's just been a quick booking. You know what? It's not that quick either because there has been history. Like they mentioned, he was the one that cashed that money in the bank with him and Roman Reigns. I get what you're saying by booking because you got some story. You have some background to build on, and you're not utilizing it in any freaking way. You've mentioned here and there little Easter eggs, but you really haven't done anything, no physicality. Or they have been physical a little bit, but I feel like if you're going to use Seth, and this is the guy that's going to burn it down, you should have had it a little more vicious. Let him and Brock really go at it. This is WrestleMania season. Let them beat the shit out of each other right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the only way I feel like this feud could have been a little bit better is put a little bit more heat on it. I feel like they've been kind of just dimming down the fire a little bit. You know, like, hey, you're going to burn it down. Let him burn it down. Exactly what the fuck you're going to do. Don't wait for WrestleMania. Now, wait for WrestleMania to put on those big, huge spots, yes. But if you're going to build it up in such a short amount of time, the way that they're doing it, trying to do something within a month or two, because that's really what they've been doing, make it something that's fruitful, you know, not just a promo here, a promo there. Oh, you showed up and then you walked away. I get to hear Tag Drew, but at least in the next, we got 2 or 3 weeks left? In the next two shows, at least the next two Raws, let them fucking get physical, at least once. Just to show that, look, things are boiling over, that this is not a fucking game. This is WrestleMania we're talking about. This isn't Fastlane. This isn't fucking Backlash. This isn't whatever the hell other pay-per-view, Great Balls of Fire. No, this is WrestleMania. WrestleMania. We don't know yet. We don't know yet. Because, again, they listen to our podcast, obviously. So, Skyrocket is in sight. Afternoon Delight, baby. They might do something,
yeah.
You know. So we still got 2-3 weeks left. And they always, you always call it out, Christian. That's one thing about you. You got this whole, the way your mind works, and you spill it out. And it's like they obviously listen to something because it's like you call it out. Like verbatim, this is exactly what's going to happen. So, who knows? I mean, I feel like that's what it needs. That little bit of seasoning. It's missing that little bit of, like, the red hot little peppers, you know. It needs that little kick. And I think that kick is going to be them just getting physical with each other. Because how are you going to do that with Dean? How are you going to do that with Roman? But now it's Seth Rollins,
exactly.
The architect. And you pushed
and
this
you know
guy
what?
For a long time. He was the first NXT champion, the first one out of the group to win the champion. You had a huge storyline with him in the Authority. If anybody's bucked the Authority, it's been him. You know what I mean? If anybody's had really good spots in these matches, it's been him. So if you're going to have somebody really and make it look believable that you're going to really take down Brock, then let him get physical and really show that this is not just a regular Seth Rollins, this is the burn-it-down Seth Rollins.
And you know what else I've been calling for weeks and months? I've been calling that Tony Nese was going to face Eddie Murphy to face him at WrestleMania. And lo and behold, look what we have now. Tony Nese versus Eddie Murphy for the Cruiserweight Championship of WrestleMania. I'm calling it for months, and look what's happening. Tony Nese versus Buddy Murphy. Yeah. Batman.
I actually have no problem with this match. Tony Nese is a force to be reckoned with. I think if they booked him.
What's your reaction? What's your reaction to the fact that I've been calling it for months?
I mean, I'm not surprised. Like I said, I just said that a little earlier that you just called them out, man. Like, you know the trajectory of where they're going. I may be the historian, but I think your mind works the way theirs does. Yeah, I mean, like I said, you've been calling it out, dude. There's really not much more surprising than that. You do that week in and week out. So, and you called it out. So I kind of expected it to happen. You know, they listen to us. I know they listen to us.
They're listening somewhere out there. The voices are being heard.
Yeah, they're hearing you, bro.
Yeah, they're stealing my ideas. That's what they're doing. I make them fucking money.
I don't think they're stealing. I think they're borrowing. They're just not giving it back. It's one of those, like, you know, when you let your friend borrow something, you don't get the shit back? That's what it is.
Yeah. Oh, well, let's continue. Let's start the show right now with missed booking opportunities, where we talk about what could have been but never happened. EC3's face run in TNA. When EC3, Ethan Carter III, turned babyface after a feud with Matt Hardy, a.k.a. Big Money Matt. And I did not like this face run at all. I felt like it was kind of corny and it was kind of boring. Batman, do you remember face EC3 at TNA?
Yeah, bro. And honestly, I felt like it wasn't really much of a face. They were just trying to get him over. His character doesn't come off as a face. You know, one thing I can say about EC, though, is that he does have some kind of comedic thing to him. If they could just kind of get to the inside of that, he could get over. There is something about him, the way he, he does these little modeling things and the way he, you know, he kind of works, because he can work the camera, bro. It's just, there's something that's just not there, that's not clicking, you know what I mean, with the audience.
Mm-hmm. Not the audience, it's the way they've been booking him, that's the problem.
Yeah, and I honestly, sometimes it's not even the booking. I think it's just him, too. He just hasn't found it yet. And what could be missing is, like, this EC3 is, like, the blander version of the EC3 in TNA. Because what was getting him over in TNA was those little quirks that he was doing, you know? Even though he was a heel, he was still getting over. So it kind of is EC3's fault right now.
It's Vince's fault, too, by the way. Because Vince
is
sabotaging him, isn't it?
Yeah, but Vince has this way of holding the reins back to see how far you really can go. Because not for nothing, the people that have made it are those diamonds, you know, that have felt the pressure, that were put in positions that were like, fuck, how are you going to get this over? And then they get it over anyways. You know what I mean? I mean, you think Stone Cold, when he first came out and he was a ringmaster, you think he really – that was Vince. But Vince put that pressure
just
on him. And then guess what?
Just stand there and spray baby oil on yourself, damn it. Just stand there and spray baby oil on yourself, damn it. I'm going to whack off backstage. Just stand there.
Pronouns. He, Vince, you know what I mean? He was given a shitty-ass gimmick, bro, and then he still went and did something with it. What he did was not break character, but break out of that character and got himself over.
Vince loves big, sweaty men.
Oh, poor that boy, be all on me. Oh, look at those muscles. Oh, those lats in the back.
He does have a thing for the big men. He does. But besides the fact, my point is that he does like to put pressure on these people to see how they're going to perform. Because really, you look at things, these guys perform live. Live.
Mm-hmm.
There is no do-overs. There's no this and that. You got to make sure that you can feel, you can, you got to make sure that when the pressure is applied, that you're shining like a fucking light, you know what I mean? That you really got to do it.
Well,
because there's people who get that. And literally, look, there's a reason I say this, because there's people that do get that get the airtime and don't do shit with it, even if they have something good.
I don't know.
They just don't take advantage.
I don't know if you know this, but he recently lost to Tyler Breeze on Main Event.
Yes, he did. He did, which I think is good for Tyler Breeze, because, I mean, Tyler Breeze has kind of been on the outs ever since the Brazengo, what's his name?
Fandango.
Fandango, yes. Fandango got injured.
Where the fuck is
he,
by the way?
He's injured.
Yeah, but for how long?
Oh, dude, he's been injured for a while.
Like it's a serious injury. I know that he's coming back and he's making a return, but it's still pretty. I like actually the fact that they haven't let him go. I'm hoping that they don't, because he really is a good hand, bro. He's an awesome fucking hand.
Yeah.
He's a really good hand. So is Tyler Breeze, man. That's why, as much as I've said so many times that there's just such a stacked roster, sometimes I am grateful that they have a main event and they got the NXT and they got the 205 because
it doesn't do EC3 good that he lost to Tyler Breeze, though. It doesn't do him good either.
No, it doesn't do him any good. It just sets him back even more. If he wasn't set back to begin with once he got to the main roster, I don't understand why they put him in the main roster to begin with when he wasn't really getting over in NXT either.
Because he didn't form a tag team first.
Yeah, that's one thing that just flew over my head. Like, I just don't get how. I just don't get it.
He just needed to form a stable first in NXT. Then he would have gotten over. He needed a stable in NXT.
I think he could have, dude. And I think if they would have put him with
Adam Cole?
No, who he was originally with in NXT. I mean, in TNA.
Spud?
Yeah, Spud. If they put him in with Spud, I bet you they could do something. Because their chemistry is fucking awesome, dude. Sometimes it's too... Some people aren't good in single. Not that they're not good in single, but sometimes having that person with you is what really puts you over. And I can say this,
yeah.
Look, here's a perfect example. Bobby Heenan, greatest fucking manager ever, right?
Yeah.
And look, Bobby Heenan had the what do you say? You listen to me, you get to the top. You don't listen to me, you never heard from again. Now, I find truth to that. But also, you look at the people in the roster, the people that he got over, right? Or the people that he managed and became big things.
Those people were
actually good. Yeah, they were good on their own. But Mr. Perfect just kind of skyrocketed them up, right? Skyrocket is my word today.
Yes. Yeah.
The word of the day is skyrocket. Bobby Heenan did that. Well, to me, it's like that situation with EC. EC3 can get himself over. He can't. It's not that he's not a good talent. But he just needs that mouthpiece. He needs something
He's directionless.
He's a what?
He's directionless.
Yeah, directionless. He needs somebody to give him direction. There you go. That's perfect. Because King Kong Bundy was a hell of a star before he got with Bobby Heenan. But he wasn't getting anywhere. It's not that he wasn't good. He just wasn't getting anywhere. Same thing. Mr. Perfect wasn't getting anywhere. It's not that he wasn't good. He just needed a direction. Bobby Heenan led the way. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what EC3, I think, needs. He's got these quirks, dude. There's stuff that sometimes I'm like, that could have been funny, but just the way he delivered it wasn't too great. But you know what? That character that he was doing now, it worked in TNA with Spud, so we'll just leave it at that.
I'm calling it right now. Leo Rush turns on Bobby Lashley and starts managing EC3.
Of course. I could see that. He needs a good mouthpiece.
There you go. There you go. All right, so next is Bobby Roode, current WWE run. We thought Bobby Roode was doing okay in the tag division, but now he's gone back to being nothing. And it looks like the tag team split because Chad Gable was starting to wear his old ring attire. So you think that tag team split now?
I don't think they split, man. And if they did, God, that sucks for Bobby Roode because he was just getting himself somewhere finally.
Chad Gable wore his old ring attire.
When he went against Kurt Angle, correct?
Yeah. So that means they might have split up.
Yeah. I hope not. I can say that.
So what do you think of his current run right now? I mean, it was starting to get good, but now it's dropped.
Well, I know that they were doing that feud, right, with him. I think him and Chad Gable was between Ricochet and Jesus Christ, I can't forget it. I can't remember his name now.
Aleister
Ricochet
Black.
And Aleister Black. There you go. I think that would make a good feud.
but that just dropped.
That just dropped?
It just dropped. Like, there was no mention of the Raw Tag Team Champion or anything. It just dropped. We'll see if it continues this week, this coming Raw, but if it doesn't, that means it's gone.
Oh, man. This is why I say about the stacked roster, because then you don't know what the fuck to do.
Especially for WrestleMania. You know what they You know what they should do? They should bring back tag team turmoil matches.
Yes, they should, man. It, you know what the what that reminds me of is you've been mentioning bringing back the title, the championship scramble or Scrabble. That would be an awesome fucking thing to bring. So with the tag team one, the tag team Scrabble or what you just mentioned, that would be an awesome thing to bring back because that would give the tag team turmoil, that would give a way to highlight these tag teams because the tag team division is stacked, but they're not going anywhere with it right now. I think that's the reason why Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy kind of got together. They brought him in, you know, in for a little bit to kind of reignite that title scene again.
Yeah.
The tag team division. It needs some kind of – it needs something. There's a lot of areas right now in WWE that need reigniting, bro, because it's been a little it's been a little hectic lately.
Yeah. All right. Here's the final misbooking opportunity. Speaking of tag team, the one tag team that got fucked over in the main roster before they even actually began, American Alpha. What the fuck happened to this team? This team hardly got anything. It broke up too soon, and neither man could have gotten a good career. I mean, Jason Jordan got his fucking neck broken, and he had to retire, and Chad Gable is back to being fucking irrelevant. What a good career. What happened, Batman?
I'm sorry, you said Chad Gable?
Chad Gable's back to being irrelevant, and Jason Jordan broke his neck, and now he's retired. What happened to America Alpha? Why did they got fucked over?
Look, Chad Gable, I think Chad Gable needs to cut his hair, and he needs to get a little more violent. See, here's the thing about those natural athletes, right? It is believable if they get violent. It is believable if they get extra physical or extra a little more stiff in their matches. And this is just my opinion, but guys like that, and I'm not trying to pigeonhole them, but those are the guys that you need to let loose. You know what I mean? Because they'll do things in the ring and the fluidity of it. That's who you want as a star. You know what I mean? Who can really throw it in the ring like Kurt Angle. Chad Gable is there. Shelton Benjamin is there. For so long I've wanted Shelton Benjamin to get into that scene. Now, Shelton, that's on him too because his promo work still needs a lot of work. But his in-ring performance, that guy, to me, still the gold standard. Ever since he had that little thing, the gimmick, has always been that to me. So Chad Gable, if he can just cut his hair, change his outfit a little bit, and just come out a little more rough, a little more stiff, I think he can get himself over, dude, because it's believable. This guy has... He's got a wrestling background. He has this, he's an Olympian himself. So it would be feasible for him to go out there and just throw people around.
The real question is, why did they broke up American Alpha too soon? Why did they fuck this tag team, Batman? Why did they broke them up?
I think because they saw something in Jordan. And a lot of times, if you haven't noticed, that since to be like that's their MO. Marty Jannetty and all that stuff. They try to split them up. Well, the only thing is Shawn Michaels really did, you know, shoot for the stars. Same thing. They try to do the same thing with The Miz and John Morrison. John Morrison, they put a lot on him, and he didn't really get anywhere the way the Miz did. So here's another thing too. Same thing.
Yeah, it's fucked. Fun note, Johnny Impact is the most boringest heel right now in TNA.
Oh, my God, yeah.
That heel promo he cut this Thursday was fucking awful. How can he be a good heel in Lucha Underground, but he can't be a good heel in TNA Impact? How does that
I think I think the reason why is because in Lucha Underground they had more time. It wasn't like live TV, and it was like a story. And it really is. Lucha Underground was like you're watching it a weekly.
It's always TNA.
Raw and TNA are weekly episodic episodes, right? But Lucha Underground really focuses on the cinematic theme, the cinematic thing about it, the story.
Yeah.
So I think that's why, because he had a chance to actually build his character here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, you're building your character, but it's not your main focus.
What character? Everybody's boring in TNA. Moose, I told you Moose was going to be shit, and lo and behold, he's shit. I've been calling it for months how this guy is not a fucking star. And look what happened. I was proven right again. This guy is not a fucking star. He's fucking garbage. Moose. Get the fuck out of here. This guy, Moose. He's not a fucking star. Have you seen his...
Get out of here,
work?
Fucking the cat. Fucking have it, yeah.
Have you seen his work lately? It's terrible.
I don't like him. He still seems like fucking... When they say green, that dude is jalapeno green. Like, he is green. Green tomato. He's still green as fuck.
He's the thing he eats because he's a moose. Green grass.
Yeah.
Fuck me.
Yeah, he's green, bro. There's nothing to it. I don't see any substance in the guy.
He's been here for 3 years now, and he's still... 3 or 4 years now, and he's still sick. He hasn't improved at all. All right, so, you know, before we go to commercial break, I got some news to discuss. Apparently, Disco Inferno got hurt by the catchphrase I said about him being in a city stable. And he has the nerve to come out on the media, Disco Inferno, saying that women's wrestling is hurting wrestling. Batman, what's your thoughts on it?
He's an idiot. He really is. I'm sorry. Jesus Christ.
He said that. Women's wrestling hurting wrestling. Bro, you had a test. Bro, let me explain something to you. Here's a quote for Facebook. This is a short answer quote. Minister is sitting on the booth right now in the studio, the Bunny studio, and he's going to listen to this quote, and he's going to laugh his ass off with this quote I'm about to say. If Arn Anderson can make magic with you, then you are sick. Yeah. If Arn Anderson can make you a star, you're shit. And that's a fact.
Yeah.
He had a feud with Arn Anderson in WCW. And if Arn Anderson can't even make you a fucking star, you're fucking trash, mate. Yeah, you're fucking trash. All right, we'll be right back with these words from our sponsors. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Ooh, yeah. Are you ready for some more wrestling talk? Join Internet Radio's own Minister of Sinister, headliner Joe Bates, and Rancho punk rocker Albert Salazar as they recap some of this week's shenanigans in the WWE. Fatal 4-Way Radio makes its triumphant return to the World Generation Podcast Network.
Rising from the depths of oblivion, materializing out of the ether, lost, found, the greatest talk show that will ever be. Return to the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more.
You want to see something really scary?
You want to see something really scary?
You want to see something really?
are signing up to join
WrestleCorp, WrestleCorp.com.
Enlist yourself in the best wrestling news, wrestling opinion, and of course, the best wrestling commentators in the history of mankind. Grab your gear and join
WrestleCorp.
Sit yourself down in the gorilla position and come join the fight to make wrestling a worldwide phenomenon. Join
WrestleCorp, WrestleCorp.com.
From bell to bell, are you ready?
Monday nights on the World Generation Podcast Network. In association with Bud's Backroom, the greatest wrestling podcast. Monday Night Fallout returns with T-Rock Plutonium, Loverboy Langloy, Minister of Sinister, and special appearances by the Wolfpack, Hollywood KV, and more. Plus the rebirth of the IWC. Stay tuned on the World Generation Podcast Network. Monday nights will never be the same again.
First of all, thank you so much for joining me here tonight. And can I just say right off the bat, I totally see that trademark Lashley family resemblance. Let's just get right to it because there's quite the story to be told here. Now, Kathy, a few weeks ago, Bobby Lashley looked right into the camera and he professed his undying love for his sisters, but something didn't smell right. So could you please just explain, first of all, just explain why, growing up, you had to carry this broom around everywhere you went.
Well, when we were younger, Bobby was mean to all of us. And for some reason, he loved to pick on me. And as a young woman, I couldn't defend myself. So I grabbed the closest thing to me, my mama's broom. And I used it to swat that snarling little menace away from me.
Wow. That had to be hard. Thank you for sharing. Now, Francis, I understand, obviously, the broom for self-defense, but could you explain why you had to grow up carrying that helmet everywhere you went?
I carried my helmet because Bobby would take his knuckle and he would hit me on the top of my head as hard as he could. And he made me cry. Until I saved my money, I went to the Army-Navy store and I bought this helmet. And then he couldn't thump me on the head anymore.
Good for you. Good for you. Good for you to know when enough was enough. Can I just say that I commend your bravery, dare I say, your heroicism.
Heroicism?
And Jessica, obviously this all makes sense. A broom for self-defense, a helmet for self-protection, but I mean, the towel. Could you explain why you would have to grow up carrying a towel with you everywhere you went?
Well, it was real easy. Bobby would hurt my feelings. He made me feel so bad. He would make me cry. A tissue, a Kleenex wasn't enough. He made me cry so many times. But by the end of the night, this thing was sopping wet.
Sopping wet. Sopping wet. You're starting to get a picture of the real Bobby Lashley now, aren't you? You're starting to see what I've been saying all along. So just tell me, Kathy, would you say it was a lie when Bobby Lashley looked into the camera and said that he loved his sisters?
He doesn't love us. He only loves himself.
Only loves himself. Huh. So clearly, you three girls grew up with fear and intimidation, but explain to me, how did your parents feel about Bobby?
My mom and dad hated Bobby. They were ashamed of him. He was disrespectful until one day they had to ship him off to reform school.
Reform school, okay? That's where the bad kids go. Now, you're an army family. Clearly, you have to move around a lot. how did the general community react? What did they think about little Bobby?
Well, quite frankly, Bobby was a brat. He was still candy. He was a thief. It got so bad that when Bobby would come around, they would call the cops on him.
They would call the cops on him. Okay, they would call the cops on him. So now you understand the real Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley is a liar. Bobby Lashley is a thief. Bobby Lashley is a bully for crying out loud. He was a juvenile delinquent. He is a menace to society just like he is.
Here comes trouble.
Yeah, the so-called, quote, menace to society.
To the bell.
My sisters! Look at them. Sammy. Kathy, look at you. I cannot believe for the life of me how you are still single. Look at you. And what do you got, Jessica? Jessica. I know you like to get a little thrifty with your outfits, but girl, this outfit is fabulous. Sammy did a good job with them. And the last one, Francis. Look at you. Francis, you have something that so many other women want to have.
Oh, God.
A big, hairy mustache. Look at you. My sister, Sammy, look, you did all this for me. Sammy, you're incredible. You're amazing. You're a great friend. You are hilarious, Sammy. This is great. I love it. And I thank you for doing this for me. You couldn't have been any better of a friend, Sammy. Thank you.
Yeah.
This is great, Sammy.
Do you like it?
I loved it.
You liked it, did you?
I loved it.
Maybe you would like it more.
Was this a fake Bobby Lashley?
If I haluva kicked you in the face right now and threw you out of this ring like a piece of garbage. Okay, because that is what your family thinks of you. They think you are garbage.
This whole promo was garbage. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what you're supposed to be surprised of. This was... Yeah.
Now the fun and games are over, and now look at this! The Bobby's sisters are beating the crap out of him.
And it's a four-on-one assault. Sami Zayn leading the charge.
Now that smile is long gone now.
And Lashley is defenseless. Being held down by three men as Sami Zayn assaults him. And now Lashley powers out, and here comes Lashley. And Bobby Lashley's had enough.
Well, down goes Kathy and Francis and Jessica. So I don't know what else to call them.
I mean, that's their name. That's what the tags say. Oh, no.
Not the helmet.
Oh!
Yeah.
And look at Lashley go. Oh my God.
Imagine what family reunions are like in the Lashley household.
I don't think Bobby's done yet.
Sami Zayn told me before that Bobby Lashley's parents ran away from home.
Couldn't figure out exactly.
Yeah. By the way, that promo was so fucking terrible. I literally walked out of this room and grabbed a quick bite to eat because this was fucking garbage. It didn't make anybody look fucking good. It made Sami Zayn look like a fucking idiot heel. Made him, his heel run terrible. It makes Bobby Lashley expose himself to be a fucking garbage performer and a garbage, personality. This was fucking terrible. This was fucking awful. One of the worst. And we covered this on Monday Night Fallout when it came out. We called this when this happened. We said that this was the worst promo of 2017, and it still is. This was still by far worse than Bayley Here's Your Life. This was fucking awful. And it's fucking, it boggles my mind how the fuck people can say that Bobby Lashley was good in TNA. He was not fucking good in TNA. His wrestling was good in TNA, but not his fucking character or his fucking charisma, all right? Every time they paired Bobby Lashley with people to make Bobby Lashley look good and push him, it somehow makes the other person who's trying to push Lashley more of a fucking star than Lashley himself. Look at the fucking history. We had fucking MVP who tried to push Lashley, but yeah, MVP started looking like a fucking star. We had Kenny King partnered up with Bobby Lashley, but it made Kenny King look like a fucking star. Then we had the top America's top team who tried to push Lashley as this big fucking MMA superstar, but that failed. It made Dan Lambert look like a fucking star. And look what we have right now. Leo Rush trying his hardest to push this fucking no-talent, boring fuck over as an almighty heel, but that's fucking failing because Leo Rush is getting the more attention, he's getting the more spots, and he's getting the more heat. This guy is directionless. This guy, no matter who you pair him up with, he'll never get fucking over. This guy sucks. And he ruined Sami Zayn's heel run. He ruined it. He killed it. This was fucking stupid. And this is why WWE is in the shape it's in. Stupid shit like this. And you wonder why Fox doesn't want hokey shit anymore. Because this is fucking stupid. This was a horrible promo. I want to ask Minister first before we, I want to ask Minister first if he could drop in real quick and tell me what was your reaction, Minister, if you're there, about when this shit happened, because we covered this in Monday Night Fallout when this happened.
Oh yeah, man, this was a shit fucking promo. This was a horrible promo. Was this when I was there live?
No, this was when yes. This was the build up for the Money in the Bank. This was the build up for the Money in the Bank match between him and Sami Zayn. This shit was terrible.
It was fucking horrific, man. Bobby Lashley, I remember another time that I was there and they were pushing him as a baby face. And he was out there shaking hands and shit afterwards, after everything. They sent him out there to go send the crowd home happy. My chick went up to go take a fucking leak at the restroom before we went home, and I was still hanging around watching. And I was like, holy shit, I can't believe they're actually sending this guy out to shake hands with the people. Because in that finish, the heels won, and that was it. There was no fucking... No match, you know, to send the crowd home happy. So who do they send out there? Bobby Lashley to circle the ring and fucking shake hands with people. But yeah, man, this fucking promo was horrible. And do you know that it was actually longer than what it was? Mm-hmm. This was not the entire fucking promo, and I was actually going to cut this promo. I was going to cut it and cut some of the fucking shit, some of the reactions and stuff like that out. But I never got around to it, and I totally forgot. And then next thing you know, it was almost showtime, and I had to fucking download it into the blog talk. So I didn't get to edit it to take out a lot of the bullshit. But yeah, this motherfucker, what I put in was 9 minutes and 35 seconds, and it was even longer than that, if you notice. So this was a 10-minute segment, 10 minutes plus.
Fucking hell. This guy sucks and he still sucks.
But you know, man, that's what happens when you know you have 3 hours to fucking fill. 3 hours to fill. And then it gets fucking weak in the middle. And this was probably after the, okay, well, here it's 8 o'clock. Over there would be the 9 o'clock segment. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
This was, you know, they bring in something big for that. And then right after that, it's fucking shit. So this is probably happened during that time. And, I mean, it's just, you want to talk about fucking Buzz Killington coming in and fucking up everybody's buzz. That's a complete fucking buzzkill right there, man.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Minister, for giving us your input. Now let's go to Batman. What's his input? Let's see if he even remembers this, because I doubt he even saw this fucking promo. Batman, did you watch this horrific fucking shit? Batman.
Regretfully so. Yes, I did.
What was your initial reaction towards it?
Man, that promo was trash.
What up?
Yeah, I do remember this feud. I remember the feud, and it wasn't, I didn't even like the feud to begin with.
Mm-hmm. And did this fuck over Sami Zayn's heel run? Did this fucking ruin it?
Batman. Where did he go from here? Where did fucking Sami Zayn go from here?
He got injured right after. Yeah, and then we haven't seen him since. That's it.
Sami Zayn? Yeah, he got injured after that, and it just kind of got him back in a position.
Fucking terrible. Like,
yeah, he just got himself in a position where, I mean, Sami Zayn was the shit in NXT. Here's one of the things where people are so good at NXT, and some people are just meant for indies. I'm sad to say that, but not everybody's meant for the WWE, bro. It's just like some people are meant for independent films. Some people are not meant for big movies, and it's hard. It's a hard pill to swallow. But look, I say this because of actors. I'm a big movie buff, right? Huge movie buff.
Except for Kevin Owens, he's the exception.
No. There's a lot of exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
But Sami Zayn is just—he's meant for the indies, huh? That's hardcore.
Yeah. El Generico. Well, what about the thing I said, Batman, about Bobby Lashley pairing up with people, but yet the people who pairs with him look more of a star than he is? Batman.
No, sorry, I keep putting myself on mute. No, look, here's the thing about that. I want to go back to the independent thing. There are some that have come that have really done their shit and have really made a mark in the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
There's others, again, like my analogy was going to be earlier. Some people are just good for TV shows and not good for movies, bro. There's people that are good for movies and not good for TV shows. That's the same for this wrestling business. Some people are meant for the WWE, and the reason I say is because the WWE is the big Hollywood. This is Hollywood when it comes to them. Now, when you go to, like, New Japan, Ring of Honor, those are, like, the independent film guys. You know what I mean? The guys that you see in, like, South by Southwest. Which isn't to say that they're bad movies, because I love independent films. I love South by Southwest. All those movies that don't make mainstream, sometimes they're even way better than the mainstream. Perfect example, Michael Bay is a highly regarded a director, producer, whatever, right? I think his movies are trash. And that's the thing. I don't like his movies. I don't like Transformers, the New Ninja Turtles, Battleship, all that bullshit. I'm not a big fan of that guy. But he is big box office fucking movies, right? Regardless of whether we don't like him or not, his movies fucking make money. Same thing to WWE. Yeah. WWE isn't for everybody. Real hardcore fans will watch wrestling. We'll watch WWE. But doesn't mean that that's their favorite shit. I like watching Ring of Honor. I like watching TNA. I like watching New Japan. Because there's stuff. You're like my brother. My brother fell off of wrestling for a while. Lately, he's been watching Access TV, and he's like, bro, why haven't you told me about New Japan? I was like, bro, I've told you about New Japan forever. It took for him to see it, but now he likes watching that, and he don't like WWE at all. Yeah. He don't like WWE at all. You know what I mean? So that's just the thing. So it's just the way the cookie crumbles.
What about the fact that every time people pair with Bobby Lashley, they come out as a bigger star to him? My example is fucking America Top Team from TNA. Dan Lambert looked like a bigger star than fucking Bobby Lashley, and they were trying to push him, Bobby Lashley. Why is it that every time they pair people with Bobby Lashley, the reason why they do it is just to push Lashley, but the other star looks way bigger than him? Why is that, Batman?
Bobby Lashley is just one of those guys that he's got all the talent and no fucking, no promo. He's just not a good promo. Something about him is just super fucking bland, bro. And it's not that he's a bad, because I like his shit. I mean, like, I like the way he does his spear. I like the way he wrestles. Thank you, Sinister. There's no charisma, bro. It's like having a bland pizza. You know what I mean? It's a pizza. But it's like to me Bobby Lashley. Oh God, I feel like an asshole saying this, but he's like a Tostino's pizza. It's a pizza,
yeah.
But it ain't the greatest. He ain't no DiGiorno. He's not no Papa John's. None of that. You know what I mean? He ain't no Pizza Patron. He's just a regular schmegular guy.
But even his wrestling matches are starting to suck now.
I think so, because I think they're limiting him. Because here's the thing, in TNA they did it. So Bobby Lashley did a lot of crazy shit in TNA. He was actually really badass. And that's the thing, is that they can hinder you. They can hinder what you do in your matches, bro. You got to understand that they do call the spots before. Now they may call it on the fly when they're in the ring. But
Bobby Lashley's
got a lot of shit.
A Totino's
pizza. He's a really
pizza. Bobby Lashley's a Totino's pizza. And fucking Sami Zayn. Is not cut. He's just an indie guy. he's better off in the indies. And holy shit, that's pretty funny, guys. But I'm gonna leave you guys with something because I gotta go. I gotta go right now, and I gotta go. But I'm gonna leave you guys with this, and then after that, I want you to have a good show and just finish out and hang up when you're done and have a good night. But let me finish you guys out with this.
Who do you think? Let me ask you a question, right? When I see this in a TV music, and I ask a random fan, do you think they would know who this belongs to? They would think of what? Jinder Mahal, Muhammad Hassan, and all these Indian wrestlers. They wouldn't know who the fuck this is. They would mostly know the other one with the whole lyrics. Which is great. They wouldn't know who the fuck this is. They wouldn't know.
Do you know who this is, Batman?
No, I don't actually. It sounds familiar.
You don't?
No.
That's the problem.
The Bari?
You just had it now. See, Batman? It's so fucking bad, you don't even know who this is. This was the Great Khali's first theme song.
Oh, that was, okay, that's true, when he first came out, you're right. I just got so used to that other song.
No, see?
God, but
see,
the great...
Now,
look.
That's why.
The Great Khali is... he's highly respected in the business. Because he's,
have a good
you know,
show,
a
guys.
Kind...
Peace.
He's a kind guy, but... come on. I mean, not everybody's going to be great. Some people are just there for the spectacle. You know what I mean?
No,
which
I'm
is what wrestling
about...
is about. No, you're talking about theme music.
I'm talking about the theme music. I'm not talking about the Great Khali himself. I'm talking about how not even people, the casual fans, will even know who the fuck belongs. Not even the hardcore fans would know who the fuck
belongs. Oh,
shit,
look at me.
Yeah,
I didn't even know who that was. To be honest with you, I forgot about that song.
See, that's how it's shit. That's why it's the worst promo of the week. It's shit. Imagine, you have a bunch of Indian wrestlers.
That's what I said then. Okay, see, then I was right then. I just, it's because I said Daivari.
No.
But it turned out it was Khalid first. Yeah. Excuse me.
Hell. Let's get the show on the road with what the fuck moments. First one is Sting joins the Wolf Pack. We didn't know Sting technically. We wouldn't have guessed Sting would technically join the NWO. Cause let's be honest, he technically did join the NWO. So Batman, what's your reaction with Sting joining the Wolf Pack?
Well. What do we have here? I wasn't expecting it when I remember this because he wasn't going to join the original NWO. That was the whole point of the Black and White, doing the Sting thing, the becoming the Crow version and all that. So when he finally joined in, I was actually kind of disappointed because at this time it was just him and DDP, if I'm correct, that had nothing to do with NWO, that were completely against it. So then
and
when
Booker.
They got him, yeah, and Booker, yeah, you're right, okay, and Booker. So when he finally got into there, I was like, what kind of kick in the nuts is this? You know what I mean? You're not going to put him in the real NWO, you're going to put him in the fake NWO. Now you're just kind of, you know what I mean? It's kind of like you're kind of just being sneaky now, you know? So, I wasn't really into it. I like the black
and
red on him, though.
Especially, he started acting, especially since he started acting wacky, too. He started acting like Joker Sting in the
role. Yeah, you're right. He actually did. He started kind of coming with this little shtick where he was kind of like losing his mind. He wasn't the real Sting. The Sting that we knew for the black and white or the whoa, ow, kind of Sting. He was just doing the little quirky stuff he was doing. So, yeah. That was like the pre-version of
That was the start of the Joker. That was the dark of his career. The darkest of his career. And you wonder why.
Yeah, that's when he grew
him.
The facial hair and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the goatee. You wonder why that character is no longer in the WWE video games. It only showed up for 2K18.
The
Wolfpack.
It was for two.
Yeah.
It was on 2K18. I haven't played the last three. To be honest with you, you're such a big wrestling fan. I've literally owned a lot. I've owned like every wrestling game you can think of. I've had
or
it in 2K17. Xbox.
2K17. I lost track.
One of them. I don't know. I haven't played. The Stone Cold one was the last one I played.
No, okay, that was 2K16.
Okay, yeah, see, I haven't played 16, 17, or 18, and I'm on our 19. I haven't played the last few years. I haven't played any of them, man. Mm-hmm. I've lost track. Stone Cold, I think, was
no,
the last one.
Well, don't bother, dude. They're all the same fucking game.
They are. I've always known that. They're all been the same game ever since. Well, I just get them because I like the story. I like the little things that they have, like the Hall of Fame. Or not the Hall of Fame, the Hall of... The storylines, you know what I mean? That's what I really get them for because I like to see what storylines I get. My favorite wrestling game, to be honest with you, is SmackDown Know Your Role, the second one that's on the original PlayStation, which I have. I have, like, all the old-school ones on Nintendo 64, Warzone, WWF Attitude. I have No Mercy, WrestleMania 2000, Anarchy Rules, ECW.
Mm-hmm.
I have WrestleMania Arcade on the PlayStation. But, yeah, I like No Mercy and the SmackDown game, and those to me were, like, the best ones. And then Here Comes the Pain. But on the GameCube, Day of Reckoning.
There was a point where Sting had two pigtails for hair in the NWO Wolfpack.
I remember that.
That was fucking awful. That was awful. But I digress. Well, this one is very interesting. Since Miz is now a babyface, let's look back in his first face run. That's right. Miz's first face run. It was fucking garbage.
was a what the fuck because we didn't expect this to happen. We never expected a face Miz before. But I'm glad this face run is better than the original one that we're getting right now. Because the first time he did it, he was with the fucking Muppets. And, you know, saving fucking Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy from fucking Jack Swagger. Wow. What a good face run. The first one. Batman, do you even remember Miz's first face run when saving Miss Piggy and fucking Kermit the Frog?
No, I actually don't, man. I remember the little, I remember the Muppets being there, but I don't remember this run, to be honest with you.
It all started because Miz wanted to defend America against Antonio Cesaro. Miz was commentating for the main event show, and then he had a feud with Antonio Cesaro, and from then on he turned face. But the face run was so fucking bad, he had to turn back heel against fucking Kofi Kingston. That's how bad this face run was. The face run was so fucking bad that for 24 hours, Miz won the IC title, only to lose it the next night against Wade Barrett. Did you get that, Batman? Miz won the IC title at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But then 24 hours later, he loses it right back to Wade Barrett. That's how bad this face run was.
No, yeah, I remember that. Ah, man, it was terrible, bro.
Yeah.
Just terrible.
All right.
This
one.
It wasn't something that I really looked forward to. I'm glad that that face run wasn't that long.
Yeah. Well, we're excited for this one. Up next, we're seeing our mayor right now kidnapped a lot of women in the WWE in kayfabe. Came kidnapping women. He was a pretty perverted character, don't you think, Batman? A very perverted man in WWE. He kidnapped Kelly Kelly. He kidnapped, who else? Tori. Kidnapped Lita. Technically had a relationship with AJ Lee. And almost kidnapped Brie Bella. So, Batman, is Kane in the WWE, is the WWE character of Kane a pervert? Batman.
One thing I can say, I keep forgetting I'm on mute. One thing I can say is that, honestly, man, it was Kane. He was the devil's favorite demon. There's a lot of sins, bro.
But here's the thing, though. Was he a pervert?
I mean, of course. Of course he was. I'm not surprised that he wasn't. He's a demon. You know, he's not going to be a ladies' man. He's going to have to find another way to get the women that he gets.
Yeah. Of course. Yes. So, we're going to keep going on with the show. Batman, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, so we're going to keep going on until the show's over. So, before we go to what-if scenarios, we're going to discuss movie of the week. And this movie that we're going to talk about is Race to Witch Mountain, starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson. The Rock, I don't know if he's a taxi driver, but he has to take these two kids who are from an alien race up to a mountain just to take them home from an alien spaceship. Batman, do you remember watching this film, or did you ever watch this film, Race to Witch Mountain?
Yes, I watched it. I actually watched the original one when it first came out. Not when it first came out, but I remember the first version. Like I said, I'm a huge movie buff, so I like to watch the originals before I watch the newer versions. For example, like A Star Was Born just came out. I've seen the original with, I believe it was Kris Kristofferson and Barbara Streisand. Speaking of which, Barbara Streisand right now is in a lot of hot water, but that's neither here nor there. We're talking about Race to Witch Mountain. Here is one of the first movies where The Rock, it was in his first series of movies that he was coming out, working, like trying to do family-friendly movies. That was after the Tooth Fairy, which I believe we were originally going to talk about, but then Ray Stevenson came out. And then the game plan. He was really trying to get over for the crowd out here.
Yeah.
You know? I actually liked this little soiree he did here. This is where he kind of grew his hair out a little bit. He was still having that haircut, you know, that he had with his big-ass forehead. He grew out his beard a little bit. He had the 5 o'clock shadow. I believe this was one of the first few movies that John Hutchinson or something like that, Josh Hutchinson, the actor, and Anna Sophia Robb, I believe her name was is as well. Was this one of her first movies as well?
It was the girl from Bridge of Terabithia.
Bridge of Terabithia. She was the one for the Carrie Diaries or something like that, the one that they did for, like, the prequel of Sex and the City. Yeah, she was really good at Bridge of Terabithia as well. Here is the thing with that movie. It's a Disney movie. So you know it's going to be a little kind of
yeah.
A little bland at times. Yeah, it's going to be like that, you know. But as a movie in itself wasn't that terrible at all to begin with, as a matter of fact.
No.
It was actually pretty good. The scenes were actually.
I wouldn't say this movie belonged in theaters, though. I thought this movie belonged in direct to DVD.
Yeah, like a Journey to the Center of the Earth kind of type movie. But yeah, I didn't think it belonged in theaters either. I believe that it should have been a straight to DVD like those Walt Disney movies usually do. I think the original was actually still better, and that's saying a lot. Originals usually are better. But just because of the time difference, you know, I think the original came out in the 70s or something, I believe. This movie came out in the mid-2000s, something like that, right? 2000
I think it came out in 2011.
2011, right? Something like that? Was
it
2011?
This was,
I thought it was 2010.
This was during the whole Miz and John Cena thing.
Okay, well, even then, it's still a difference. And to say that the first movie was better than this movie was, that's saying a lot.
Yeah. It wasn't that good, in my opinion. I didn't like it. Well, it was kind of boring. And this is the Rock we're talking about. He makes things exciting, but he didn't make this movie exciting. Just like tonight, he didn't win an award. He didn't win an award tonight for Skyscraper.
What was out tonight? There's an award show out tonight. I don't really watch TV, man. I don't keep up on all that. The only TV I literally watch is movies and wrestling.
Tonight was the Kids' Choice Awards.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Skyscraper was trash. Trash.
He didn't win. He was nominated for favorite ass kicker, and he lost to Chris Pratt.
I don't blame them. Chris Pratt is fucking. He's on a whole nother level now. That guy is a fucking movie. He's a bona fide movie star. I mean, nobody's making the money and the movies the way The Rock is. Because the movie right now, I think The Rock is still the highest paid actor right now. Especially the fact that he's paying himself because he's making these movies on his own now with his own company.
Since we keep talking about Skyscraper, we're going to talk about it next time we go on the show. Skyscraper, the movie. We're going to talk about it.
All right, cool.
Let's talk about that.
Be on our little rock bench for a second.
Yeah. So anyway, so now we had to do what if scenarios. This is an interesting one, the most interesting what if scenario we have to talk about. TNA was at its highest of the heights in 2007. We had stars like Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, Kazarian, the Money in the James Storm, Bobby Roode, Sting, Jeff Jarrett, the Motor City Machine Guns, Beer Money. But, and the Main Event Mafia, let's not forget the Main Event Mafia. But, what if a certain team were debuted in TNA instead of WWE? This is the most important what if scenario right now. What if the Shield... What if Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose debuted as the Shield in TNA Batman.
Dude, if it came out in TNA, we would not be talking about the Shield now. It would have been a forgotten stable. See, and that's where I say that...
2007.
Even then. Even when TNA was in the height. I don't think they would have known what to do with the Shield. They wouldn't have known what to do with the Shield. With that kind of team...
I would have had them feud Main Event Mafia.
I would have had them feud Main Event Mafia, but it still wouldn't have been last. It wouldn't have lasted that long. It wouldn't. It would not be something that we'd be talking about today. Main Event Mafia was Main Event Mafia because of the group that was in there, the people that were there, and then you had to handle those people because those people had their own creative direction.
Okay,
these guys
then,
were most likely going to be under creative. Go.
But here's how to fix things. Okay. Shield wouldn't last long, but then you would still have them in their solo careers. Have Seth Rollins feud with AJ Styles and all those people, and then Roman Reigns feuds with Sting and all that people. Then Dean Ambrose goes after the X Division belt. Who would be the top star out of that group in TNA? Seth Rollins, Dean, or Roman?
Oh, that's a good question. I think Roman is the reason why is big in the WWE because that's what WWE likes. Now, if they were in TNA or Ring of Honor or even New Japan, it would be Seth Rollins or Dean Ambrose. And it just really depends on where. I think in New Japan, Dean Ambrose would be the star. If you went to TNA or Ring of Honor, Seth Rollins would be the star. Because of the style. You know what I mean? Seth Rollins,
yeah.
I could have seen him in an X Division match or X, you know, the Ultimate X kind of thing or whatever the fuck, or the six-sided cage or all that stuff, he's a spot monkey. I'm not saying he's a spot monkey, but he's a spot monkey. You know, he gets all the spots. That's him. Roman Reigns is the big guy, the big dog, so he fits in a big guy world. And even though guys are a little smaller now in this day and age, he's still a big guy. You know what I mean? He's still the dog in that territory. Dean Ambrose now, because of his style, he's more rough, rugged, real stiff, real strong style, I guess you would say. He would be perfect in New Japan, to be honest with you. He'd get over like a motherfucker there because that's what they like. They like that physicality. Seth Rollins, like I said, is more of a TNA Ring of Honor, and he's been in Ring of Honor, so I could see him getting over in those places. Roman Reigns, to be honest with you, he's just a WWE guy. I don't think he can get himself over anywhere else. And that sounds terrible because, of course, you want to have faith in the wrestlers. But, again, some people are just meant for independence, and that's not a bad thing because there's people in independence right now that are making way the fuck more than people in the WWE. You get what I mean? Some people, it's just like, look, it's like a store. You can go from one store and then that you're so used to, and they build another store right next to your house. You're still going to go to the one across the street because that's what you're used to. The comfortability, you know what I mean? The stability of it. Roman Reigns, I was going to say, WWE is like that. People just watch it because they're used to it. They like that, but that doesn't mean that they're making the most money. You know what I mean? I can tell you for a fact, Cody Rhodes, Young Bucks, Omega are making way more than some of the people that are even big stars in the WWE. You know what I mean? So, it's just, again, the styles are different, and each one of them, I think, would excel in each different parts. But then coming out of TNA, at least even in 2007 when it was in the height of TNA, they still wouldn't have known what to do with the Shield. The Shield is just a whole different animal, and it really is a team that came out of, not out of nowhere, but it came out of nowhere. CM Punk is the one, Seth Rollins came out and said it. He's the one that kind of was like, hey, here's an idea, let's do it. Then, like, not even a week or so later, they did it. And of all these teams, we've seen a lot of teams, a lot of stables come in and out since the Shield has been there. None of them have done what the Shield has. Shield is just a rare entity. You know what I mean? Like Evolution was, the way Four Horsemen was. There's been a lot of stables, a lot of teams, a lot of people that tried to go back and forth or get together. None of them have done what the Shield has done, at least in recent memory. You know, so they're real special. That's just the thing about them. They are a special group, bro. In this day and age of where fans really don't give a fuck about it, in this day and age where there's no character build-up at all, we just go from what they can do in the ring, but there's no character. It's not always about what you can do in the ring either. Yeah, you can bust ass, but we're not invested in, because sometimes the move has to do with the character. You get what I mean? So even if you do this crazy-ass move, there's not anything invested in it. It's just like, oh, yeah, that's it. You know, S.H.I.E.L.D. is one of those where it's just, they were special, bro. There's just something about them that they came in at the right time. Something about it, you know, just them. Because even when they came in, they were still, they looked goofy as fuck when they came in, but they still got over shit. They just came in at the right time with the right people, and it's just simple as that. I couldn't see the S.H.I.E.L.D. doing what they're doing right now with Cassius Ohno. Not, never, nothing. Sorry, Cassius, I love the guy, but he wasn't a S.H.I.E.L.D. guy. You know what I mean? These three guys are just put together. They were special. Simple as that.
Well, next up is, what if Macho Man was leading the NWO? Now, we know that Macho Man was in the NWO, but what if he took control over it than Hulk Hogan? He took control away from Hogan. Batman, what would it be like if Macho Man was in complete control of the NWO?
Let me tell you something, Mean Gene. Macho Man had the guts to go and face the 24-inch pythons. Ooh, yeah, but if I rule the NWO, whoa, whoa, freak out, freak out. Ooh, I don't take it in the direction left, right, up, down. Ooh, you wouldn't know where the NWO was going or coming from. Ooh, yeah.
He could have. I think he was like the the unofficial leader at some points. You know what I mean? Because he wore that black and white like a motherfucker. Snap into a slam jam. All that crazy shit. He was the macho, the madness. Do you see him come out with the black and white with Mrs. Elizabeth and all that when they came back out together again in WCW?
Yeah.
It's like he was a leader of the NWO, you know? Even without you having to say anything, it's like he had that push. He just had that. So I honestly feel like he could have done something. He could have been a leader of the NWO pretty damn well. He could have led it well with his ideas, his character. That's when we talk about people who don't have charisma. That was charisma personified, bro. He could have done anything with any team, with anywhere, anytime. You know what I mean? And he did. Again, he was like the spokesman for NWO when Macho Man and Nash and Hall went there. It was the Macho Man, you know? So I think it could have been ran great without him as a leader.
Yeah, it would have been fucking awesome. Next is last one. What if Randy Orton created his own Evolution stable? Let's forget about fucking Legacy. Let's talk about Evolution 2.0. What if Randy Orton created another fucking Evolution stable, Batman? Right now. Would that work?
Randy with Evolution 2.0. I think they actually tried to do that when he was when they were Legacy. Because that's pretty much what it was. Evolution, Legacy was just another reiteration of Evolution. Because Evolution was the next in line, right? Well, that's what Legacy was, the next in line. They were leaving a legacy. I think that's what they tried to do with him. Right now, though, he probably could. And here's my question, though. If he were to build a new Evolution, you're going to need Randy and another seasoned veteran, but you're going to need two younger guys. That's basically what the formula for Evolution was. So who would you choose? And your mind works crazy. So who would you have chosen?
What, for the Evolution right now or Legacy?
Now.
Oh, now? Well, it has to be some people who are young stars. So I would have put Randy Orton with a young star who hasn't really...
You need two young stars and another veteran.
All right, let's see. I would have put him on. I gotta think. Who's a young star right now? I have to think. Hold on. Give me a minute.
Yeah. See, now that's the question, because you're asking the question.
No, I got it.
Could it happen? But who would it happen with?
I got it. If Undisputed were to break up, I would have picked Bobby Fischer and Kyle O'Reilly.
Okay. I'll take that. Take Kyle O'Reilly out. I can see Bobby Fischer or Bobby Fish.
Okay. And then
now
Roger
pick somebody
Strong.
Else. Now pick somebody else. Now, no, not Roger Strong. No, just one person out of Indisputed. Because you're already,
okay.
you're just getting somebody from you're getting people from one group and just putting them into another group. Just choose
all right,
one.
All right, Bobby Fischer.
Now we
and
need another young talent.
Another young talent. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Matt Riddle.
Ooh, I don't know about Matt Riddle.
No, think
Matt
about
Riddle
it.
Would
Matt
be
Riddle.
Matt Riddle would be like how they did with Batista. They were going to choose somebody else other than Batista. I forgot
no,
who they were going to choose.
It. No. How I'm doing it is Matt Riddle's a fake member. Well, you think he's an official member, but really he's not. Randy Orton would like push his belief onto him, and then Matt Riddle turns on Randy, but somebody else takes his spot. Like, Matt Riddle is like a face, like a fake fucking spot for the real one, for the real member. The real member will have to be somebody from the Cruiserweight division.
We could do that. No, I don't see him. No, I can see Bobby Fish. The reason I can see Bobby Fish is because he's got this violentness to him. You get what I mean? He has this ruggedness to Bobby Fish. Like, he's just got this, the way he manipulates certain things. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can see that, but I can't see, I don't see the other guy that you're talking about. That's how much I can't see him. I forgot who the hell you mentioned. I just know it was not important.
Drew Gulak.
Drew Gulak is good. Don't get me wrong. His style is great. I don't see him in the stable, though. Drew Gulak is one of those where he needs to be on himself.
No, but see, Drew Gulak will be the ass kisser in the group. Drew Gulak will be the ass kisser because he likes to follow examples, like rules. He'd be the fucking ass kisser to Randy Orton saying how great of a professional wrestler he is, and that Randy Orton doesn't go up the top rope like all these stupid high flyers. That's why I would pick Drew Gulak, not for his wrestling, but for his character. His characteristics.
Yeah, and that's what I mean, though. I don't think his character would be somebody with a group. I see, and that's where... All right, let's go from... Let's just do somebody else. Let's go... I'm going to think of... Let me see if I can think of another young talent. Give me a veteran right now that would go... Here's the thing, the reason why Evolution worked. Because each of them had their own little gimmick to them that complemented each other in the group. Just like Four Horsemen. Tully Blanchard, Arn Anderson, even Ole at a time... And Ric Flair, right?
Yeah.
Each complemented each other in this group because their styles somehow meshed and the fluidity in which they did the tags and then the way they did their tag team maneuvers or just the way they knew each other, it has to do with your style. Do you know what I mean? So Drew Gulak, I get what you're saying about his style, but I don't see anything that would complement. Like, now when I'm telling you, take the game. I'm thinking of like how Bobby Fischer, Bobby Fish, I could see him compliment Randy
Orton. He's the submissionist.
Because they're both malicious.
He's the submissionless. We have the brawler in Randy. We have the tactician in Randy Orton. We have the submissionless.
Yeah.
We have the ring general. We have the submission expert from Bobby Fish. Now we need a high flyer.
Yeah, but see, Evolution wasn't like that. Well, we don't have to
follow
that formula.
No, but this is a new one. This is
new
Evolution 2.0.
Coming from the ground, coming from the air. Okay, who would you choose as a veteran? Well, as a veteran for Randy.
A veteran for Randy? Oh. Any veteran?
Who would you, that would compliment Rick. Because look, in Evolution, it was Ric Flair was the main, the old school, the old tree.
Mm-hmm.
This is where they were all the learning tree. They were all following his steps.
Now,
perfect example, following his steps, the one right under him was Triple H.
Let's see.
Triple H, right? And then came Randy Orton. Randy Orton had a legacy already in him. He was third generation, and
Bob
he was that
Orton.
Diamond.
His dad, Bob Orton. Bob Orton.
He wouldn't do anything, though, in the match.
He wouldn't wrestle. He'd be the mouthpiece. He doesn't need to wrestle. He'll be the mouthpiece.
Oh, like a.
like Eldridge was, or Elgrig, or whatever his name was for the.
Yeah.
I know this is a long ass piece.
He could hype up his son and tell him about his team, and then now we have to get the final member, the High Flyer, and I think I know which one. This one might shock you too. No.
Brian Kendrick. No.
No. Leo Rush.
Leo Rush would be good because he's a really good mouthpiece, bro.
Yeah.
He's a really great mouthpiece.
Leo betrays Bobby and joins Randy Orton.
And he's the younger. He's the youngest. He would be the youngest one. He's only like 23, 24.
Yeah. So there you go. We have Evolution 2.0. We have Bobby Fish, who's the second in command, who's the submission specialist. We have Bob Orton, who's the mouthpiece and the veteran, the old veteran, the guy who main evented WrestleMania, the first WrestleMania with Roddy Piper against Mr. T and Hulk Hogan. And then we have Leo Rush, who's the High Flyer, and the arrogance of Randy Orton as the youngest guy. So there you go. We have the muscle / submission specialist, Bobby Fish. We have the arrogant young punk in Leo Rush. We got the veteran in Bob Orton. And then we have the leader / ring general, Randy Orton.
I can see that. The only thing is just the Bob Orton part.
All right.
And maybe Leo Rush.
All right, so Leo Rush is the mouthpiece then. And then we could take out Bob Orton. Let's find another veteran.
Let's go through the list. Who's veteran right now?
Paul Ellering.
No. We need somebody in ring. We still need an in ring person. Somebody that can be in the ring with Randy as well.
Al Snow.
In the WWE? Nah, Al Snow.
I feel like
we need somebody. Maybe Randy could be the veteran. Who would be another veteran under Randy? Because there was Ric Flair was a veteran, and then you got another veteran, and under him was Triple H.
Wait, we got to think. Hold on, we got to think. This is actually fun and challenging. We got to think.
Name the veterans right now in the business in WWE is what I'm trying to say.
Jeff Jarrett.
And Evolution?
No, but think Jeff Jarrett.
He is in ring right now still. He's still an in ring competitor.
Okay.
And he was a promoter.
Yes.
Hmm.
Jeff Jarrett.
Who else is there that's veteran?
That's it. He's the only one who wrestled this year so far.
No, I mean, but veteran with Randy, though. Who's been there with Randy?
Who's
John
been
Cena,
there with Randy?
Well, he's already out. He's in and out. Undertaker, Triple H.
Who's been
there with Randy, actually? No. If Edge was still in ring, yes. I've heard rumors that he's supposedly cleared to come back.
Oh, fuck, really? Oh, fuck. No, oh, okay, hold
yeah.
on, okay. Christian.
You know who I could see as a newer Randy Orton, with Randy Orton, and he's not in WWE?
What?
As a veteran?
Yeah.
Because Randy Orton would take Triple H's position. So somebody that can take Randy Orton's position, or I'm sorry, Ric Flair's position? Jericho.
Exact. Well, Jericho's not in the WWE no more.
No more, yeah. But if there was, Jericho would be the veteran.
Yeah.
Because Jericho could really set the tone to branch out for the other three. Do you know what I mean? Because Ric Flair set the tone. Ric Flair is what made Randy, Batista, and Triple H. Not what made him, but what made that group work. Because it was Ric Flair. Then the next generation was Triple H, who followed Ric Flair. Then after that generation who followed Ric Flair and Triple H was Randy and Batista. Batista is molded after Triple H. Randy is molded after all three
of
them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it would be Jericho, Randy. I could see Bobby in there.
Bobby Fish in there.
Mm-hmm.
Leo Rush. I can see him, but I still feel like there's something take him out of the picture. There's still another person who could fit with Bobby, Randy, and Jericho.
Oh, okay. Neville.
I could see Neville.
That's another high flyer
who's really a good mouthpiece as well.
King of the Cruiserweight.
You know who I think would be good in there too? And he's not a veteran in WWE, but he's a veteran, but he could still... Oh, no, I was going to say he could be molded, but I could see Kevin Owens in there.
Yeah.
But he's a little... He is. I guess you would consider him a veteran. Samoa, AJ, they're all veterans.
Yeah, yeah.
Trying to think who is newer. You know who?
Who?
If he would go heel, and I could actually see him go heel, Mustafa Ali.
Yeah.
Because Mustafa's got the thing with the crowd. You know what I mean? And he's still a young guy who could still be molded into something. And the way they're pushing him now, they're pushing him for a reason. Because this is one of those pushes that people actually can get behind. Because he's got something about this guy that is personable, that is relatable, that he just pulls at your heartstrings, bro. You know what I mean? Like, when Kobe took over, you couldn't help but feel bad, like, sucks, man, that Kobe's in there. I mean, we're glad for Kobe because he's getting the time to shine. But Mustafa really was on fire there for a little bit for the first few weeks that he was on.
I think Mustafa
was going to win.
I think if Mustafa didn't get injured, I think Mustafa was going to win the WWE title WrestleMania.
Yes, and that's the thing. They were pushing him to that. You could see, you could actually, like I said, he's one of those few. That's why you have to look at who's
So, dude, I was right. I was right by saying Mustafa was going to win the WWE title. I was right.
That's what I mean about Mustafa. Mustafa is still that kind of person where you can actually see it. Because when Randy first came in, I could see Randy becoming the champion. Just the way they were molding him, the way they were putting him in, you could see him becoming a champion one day. And then, you know what? It happened sooner than later. So the same thing with Mustafa would be that person, would be the Randy Orton, like this guy that you could just mold into. Do you know what I mean? Because he's put on... Look, this guy, they took him out from 205 Live, and he's one of those few that transitions from an NXT to 205 to whatever. He transitions to the main roster pretty damn fucking fast. They put him in the main event matches, and they really put the spotlight on him. And you know what? He fucking came out. He came out and showed out. You know what I mean? He showed the fuck up, bro. He was ready. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of people, obviously, look, there's EC3, there's a lot of people that go to the main roster, and then it just doesn't fucking go over very well. Mustafa did, and it was to the point where, so much so, that we were like, damn, this dude just got a main roster, and you could feel the heavyweight championship on him. You know what I mean? You could feel that reaction, like, bro, if you would have won, even now, let's say if he was still in the picture, because they're still trying to bring him in the picture, even now, if you win, I don't think anybody would be against it. Not a fucking person would be against it. And that's saying a lot because the fans, the way they are, fickle. A lot of times when somebody wins it real fast, they're not behind them as much. Mustafa, they were behind them a lot. And, I wouldn't doubt that the crowd would be behind him if you would have won now. And that's that he just got on the main roster.
I completely agree. But, dude, it's time to wrap things up and head off home. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Radio Renegades. I'm glad you enjoyed the show tonight. Tune in next Saturday when we have more to discuss, more shows, more segments, more what-the-fuck moments, more missed booking opportunities, more what-if scenarios. But until then, have a good night. Batman, say goodnight to the lovely audience.
I would like to bid a farewell
to the merry people out there in the world listening to our show. Thank you so much for tuning in. As always, I have a blast talking about wrestling. I don't feel like such a loser because I'm not talking to myself this time. So, again, thank you for joining in Radio Renegades.
Hopefully y'all tune in next week. Same time, baby.
Yep. All right, everybody. Have a great night. Good night, everybody.
Presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.